Today's news. Hello, welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. Well, I saw a fascinating piece in the Manx Radio newsstream recently about an amateur meteorologist who was wanting to encourage people to be interested in the weather, and he was providing another service, not wanting to take over from the Met Office, but just put up his own view on the weather and weather forecasting and such like online so people could enjoy that as well. We're all interested in the weather, and I thought, well, there's an interesting theme to look back, weather-related and meteorology over the years. Plenty to go at, as it turns out, going back a fair number of years. I refer you to the Mona's Herald, perhaps. Wednesday, July the 23rd, 1862. Mr. Glaisher, the meteorologist, and Mr. Coxwell, the aeronaut, made a balloon ascent on Thursday at Wolverhampton for scientific purposes. They ascended at 9 o'clock, at noon descended near Oakham, after an altitude of nearly 5 miles had been reached. 5 miles in a balloon! The temperature at that height was 16 degrees. Now that must surely be Fahrenheit, not Celsius. The air very dry and electricity positive. Oh, brave chaps. We go to 1864 in the Sun, the Manx Sun, that is, of course. Saturday, September the 10th of 1864. This summer, Mr. Plant, the Birmingham meteorologist, states that the present has not been a hot summer. The highest shade temperature he has to record is 83, which is 1 degree below that which we had during Whitsun week. I'll take 83 in the summer. If not remarkably hot, the season has been remarkably dry. In fact, the driest since 1800. Adding on last year's deficiency to this year's, we have 10 inches of rain due to us. No small quantity when it is remembered that our annual average is less than 30 inches. The dryness of the earth has prevented the ground from retaining the sun's heat long. Hence, at night, we have had rapid radiation followed by a severe cold, which both in June and August reduced the thermometer to below freezing point. Below freezing in June and August. Now there's a thought. 1864. Do we often get days in June and August below freezing these days? I don't think so. We go to 1893 now, still in the 19th century, Saturday, April the 22nd, in the Manx Sun once again. Sunday last was, on the authority of Professor Falb, an Austrian meteorologist, to be the most critical day of this year. The learned professor had predicted some earthquakes in Europe shortly before, and we were to have gales, earthquakes and floods last Sunday. The Alaman got off with nothing more uncommon than a moderate breeze of wind from the southwest, a dull sky and some very welcome rain. I have not much faith in prophets in this 19th century. There are plenty of the kind in Douglas who could give Professor Falb a start in telling us what will happen. They are always just as confident and quite as wrong. I like the writer there. Into the Examiner. Saturday, June the 28th, 1899. In fact, looking at that date again, I think it's January by the looks of it. We in the Isle of Man are so accustomed, says the writer, to lay the flattering unction to our souls that the Manx climate is superior to any other in the world, that statistics lately published by the Southport Borough meteorologist, Mr. Joseph Baxendale, come to us as a veritable knockout. During the months of October, November and December of last year, Southport and Scarborough were much better off, so far as the attentions of the clerk of the weather are concerned, than Douglas, while many other seaside resorts had the advantage of the chief town in the Isle of Man in matters meteorological of an important character. There was, during the months in question, more humidity at Douglas than at any of the other 7 places dealt with in the statistics, while sunshine at Douglas was not nearly so long in evidence as at many of the resorts. Oh dear, this all sounds depressingly familiar. Douglas, however, comes out well in front so far as the daily range of temperature is concerned, and this, perhaps, justifies the guidebook assertions in regard to the equability of the climate of the Isle of Man. It is to be hoped that the Board of Advertising for the island will take steps to place before the great health-seeking and holiday-making sections of the great British public facts and figures calculated to restore the good name of the island. The months dealt with in the statistics referred to are not by any means the most inclement of the year in these parts of the world. That unenviable distinction, probably belongs to the months of January, February and March. And we have not much doubt but that if the statistics for the same places dealt with by Mr. Baxendale were compiled with respect to the three first months of the year, Douglas would occupy a position of proud prominence. Ah, plus a chance, as they say. Manx Sun again, Saturday, August the 1st, 1903. We're back in Southport again. Among the wonders of Southport, they have what is known as the Borough Meteorologist. This individual, with the stupendous cognomen, has been calling attention to several points which are highly in favour of Southport as a health resort. The rainfall took place very largely during the night. That did not occur everywhere, and it conduced very much to the comfort of the people. Then again, says the Borough Meteorologist, the prevailing winds had been from the seas, while the east winds were shown to have blown mostly during the night. It was often alleged that Southport was a relaxing place, but it compared very favourably with other places. The mean summer temperatures in Southport was 56.6 degrees. If they went to the Isle of Man, they found that Ramsey's summer temperatures was 56.7, Morecambe 58.5, Blackpool was only 1/10 of a degree lower than that of Southport, viz. 56.5. Clandidno, 57.10, Aberystwyth, 59, and many other places which were generally supposed to be bracing had an average summer temperature which was higher than that of Southport. If the Borough Meteorologist of Southport can find nothing more profitable to do than collect such statistics as these, he will run into the danger of having his salary reduced. Of course, if the Borough Meteorologist can prove in addition that he secures the falling of the rain and the blowing of the east wind at night and commands the sun to duly appear in the daytime, his salary is assured. Tongue could be firmly in cheek there. Skipping to 1903 in the Isle of Man Times, Saturday, September the 5th. According to the predictions of another professor, Professor Caper this time, a well-known French meteorologist, the weather in Great Britain from September the 1st to the 3rd will be unsettled and stormy. Gales with fine, warm weather intervening are also indicated for September the 10th, 12th and 18th. What about the days in between? Then fine weather until September the 24th. But a heavy southwesterly gale will mark the end of the month. I wonder how accurate he was. I suspect not very. Last but by no means least, the Isle of Man Times, Sunday, December the 14th, 1912. A winter of unusual severity is prophesied for Great Britain and the rest of Europe by many sorts of weather prophets. I think this could be a forerunner to the headlines in the Express. Russia has been experiencing bitter weather, and it is the general experience of the meteorologists that such premature winter in Eastern Europe precedes a more than usually severe winter in this country. The evidence of the thermometer in Russia is corroborated by some signs in England and Belgium. Numbers of wintering birds are being driven south, duck, plover, and within the last week, woodcock have appeared in the south. Some astonishing things in abnormal migration are reported, and all the weather lore of the countryside points to a hard winter. I wonder whether it was. We could go back and look, couldn't we? The winter of 1912 going into 1913. Was it particularly harsh? Or was this all just hearsay and folklore? It's much the same now with the weather in many ways, isn't it? I think the predictions have got better, but long-term predictions beyond 3 or 4 weeks? Still a little bit of black magic involved, isn't there? Not quite sticking a pin in, but I think day by day the forecasts are accurate. A week might be fairly accurate. A month or two ahead, I think there's a fair amount of guesswork still involved. Suffice to say, whether you're an amateur meteorologist or a professional meteorologist, the weather is always old news. Until next week, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.